All right, this is CITR 101.9 FM and Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show with your host, Matt, every week from this time, 6 till... Well, it's usually 6 till 7.30, but we're cut short today because there is sports broadcast at 7 o'clock. So an hour show, compressed. We better get into it because we have a good interview ahead and music of Jenny Ritter. Jenny Ritter is a local Vancouver folk artist, a one-time member of The Gruff. She, well, more than one time. That was her band for close to a decade. Very well known in this part of the world, on the western seaboard of the Pacific Northwest. But she is finally putting out a solo release, and she's having a music release for that next Saturday here in Vancouver. So I caught up with Jenny on the phone today, and I'll be broadcasting later in the show my chat with her. Really a wonderful local musician, and she's doing a lot more than just her own music. She's really doing a lot to build community here through the Kingsgate Choir. So that's a really interesting thing to learn about. That's coming up. So today is going to be a bit of a punk and a folk kind of show, because I'm going to start off with a brief retrospective on The Living End, who were a very, very well-known rockabilly punk band from Australia. And I'm going to play for you some tracks from two different releases of The Living End. Now, it's always such limited time in these shows, like when I think to do a little retrospective, like, it's like, well, do I spread it thin and do like one track from a whole bunch of albums, or do I kind of compress it to view stylistic changes? So I thought I'd just play three tracks from two different releases from different times in the band, just to see how their sound changed from X year to Y year. So we're going to start off with a few tracks from their very early work, from the mid-90s. I found this album here in the studio. It's called It's For Your Own Good. So it was recorded in November of 1995. So when they were still very much a fresh band. The band began in 1994 in Melbourne, Victoria, featuring Chris Chaney on vocals and guitar, Scott Owen on double bass and vocals, and Andy Strachan on drums. So they were very fortunate because they put out a demo which they sent to Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day in 1995. They sent him a t-shirt and demo tape and just got the support slot for Green Day's tour there straight away, and they were only been a band for like a year. But Chris Chaney definitely had his chops down. Like, he's a very proficient guitarist, very, very fast, really good rockabilly punk guitarist. And so they knew what they were doing straight up. And just a really interesting band, because the bass player is an upright bassist too, and they just have a huge amount of energy and real velocity to their songs. And of course they're famous. I'm not going to play the famous song. I try to steer away from anything too popular, but they're very well known, of course, for the Second Solution, Prisoner of Society, double A-side single. But we're not going to play that today. I'll let you, if you don't know it, I'm sure you can look it up, The Living End. Today we're going to play songs from, as I said, a very early release from 1996 called It's For Your Own Good. I'm going to play three tracks from that. And then we're going to go way, way forward to an album called White Noise. White Noise, which came out in 2008, so a big leap ahead in time. So I'm going to play for you three tracks from that release, from a point in time where The Living End were a very established, well-known band. And I saw them supporting AC/DC back home. That was a really memorable day for me. So, yeah, let's get into it. As I said, this is a bit of a punk-slash-folk kind of show today, because we have some rockabilly punk up first, and then we have the Jenny Ritter interview. Jenny Ritter is a folk artist here from Vancouver, BC, and it was a real pleasure to chat with her today, so that's coming up. But first up, here's The Living End, some rockabilly punk going right back to 1996 from Melbourne, Australia.
Just the way it goes, and for I know no reason, for I know where I'm going. Don't come around here no more. You're not welcome here anymore. cause I just can't stand it. Now there's no room for you, for I know where I'm going. Don't come around here no more. You're not welcome here anymore. From here on in, you're on your own, so carry on. Just like before, and don't you think I won't.
One day at a time. Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Still when you're around, well, I gave you all. trust. Making excuses, it's not you, it's us. But how can something unspoken seem so loud?
This is Tony Bardock of the Pointy Sticks, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Gray cloud. Where
Saturday, October 27th. Union Events presents Alan Stone live in concert with special guests Kingsek and Yuna at the Vogue Theater. Stone mixes elements of pop with soul and gospel into a soul-soothing sound, so don't miss his last Canadian tour stop. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased in advance through Zulu Records or online at unionevents.com or voguetheater.com. Doors open at 7, all ages are welcome.
Okay, we're back here on CITR 101.9 FM with Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. Thanks for tuning in. Three more tracks there from The Living End from a 2008 record called White Noise, a rockabilly punk band there from Melbourne. And you can find out a lot more about them online. They're probably one of the most well-known bands in Australia from the last 10 years. And, lots of good music from them. I neglected to feature anything from a lot of the albums in between. I played tracks from 1996 and then tracks there from 2008. There's plenty of albums between that, but there's just such limited time, and I thought I'd pick two specific albums to see you trend a difference in style. But still, in essence, a good punk band to this day. So we're going to be right back with my feature interview with Jenny Ritter. She is a Vancouver folk artist, beautiful voice, a wonderful singer, and she's really got a lot to say about the traditions of folk music and what's happening in Scandinavia, where she's toured before. So interesting things to hear from Jenny Ritter right up after this.
Despite the fact that 8 in 10 Canadians are against warrantless and costly online spying, the government remains stubborn, set to cement this scheme into law. With their huge PR budget, they've unleashed a reckless and irresponsible campaign that suggests warrantless collection of our private data is on par with a phone book. We can't let them trick Canadians. Go to www.openmedia.ca now to find out what you can do to get involved and stop this smoke and mirrors campaign the government has started.
Oh,
And we are on CRTR 101.9 FM and Strand at the Australian Canadian Music Show. The beautiful sounds there of Jenny Ritter on vocals with that track Commercial Drive from The Gruff. The Gruff are a band who are no longer with us, but they were around for close to a decade, and they were the main project for Jenny Ritter for some time. That song I just love so much, Commercial Drive, it's stuck in my mind a lot. And I spoke to that voice today, Jenny Ritter. She is a long-standing musician here in this part of the world, the Pacific Northwest. She's from Victoria, but she's been based in Vancouver for the last couple of years and has toured a lot around the country during her time in The Gruff. But now it's time for her brand new her release of her debut album. And she has a release for that coming up here in Vancouver very soon, next Saturday, I believe. And I spoke with Jenny. She's concerned what she's part of, which is not only her solo work, but also her work with the Kingsgate Choir here in Vancouver, which is just fascinating. The album's called Bright Mainland, available on Bandcamp. And let's get into it. So this is myself chatting with Jenny Ritter, Vancouver folk musician. Okay, so we're joined here. We're very pleased to be speaking with Jenny Ritter, who is a local folk artist and very a well-known person around town because she was a member of The Gruff, who I believe you were around for a number of years as a three-piece, Jenny?
The band was around for 10 years as a three-piece or a five-piece or a four-piece.
And I've got to say, my first introduction, because I kind of only arrived in the city a few years ago, kind of just when you were breaking up, but I've got to say that Commercial Drive, that song, stuck in my head for a long time, and it still pops in every now and then, and I believe it should have been an unofficial anthem of the Olympics, but that's just me.
That's never a bad thing, having a song that sticks in your head.
Yeah, so every time I walk down that street, and we'll play it today, but that was another time. We're here now with Jenny and what she's doing currently, and that's it's all about a release debut album. Jenny, what has life been like for you since disbanding The Gruff? I guess all the songs on this album are influenced by your experiences here in Vancouver in the last few years.
Yeah, in Vancouver and around. It was a change for sure, and took some serious getting used to. And, you know, in every painful process that we go through in our lives, we glean inspiration from that. So I think that's really where the album came from, was kind of me processing all the changes in my life and how I process everything is to write music about it.
That's right, and through your movement too, you're known to be someone who's not afraid to tour and to move about, and you know, songs come to you through movement too, I imagine.
Yeah, to some extent, for sure. Yeah, like traveling. I mean, traveling is really inspiring, and I do find often when I'm traveling that I can't really process what's happening at the time. And so, like, to sit down later and kind of, like, write about it, even just in a book, write about it or whatever, will generally yield music and songs.
Well, speaking of traveling then, I mean, as far as Scandinavia, that I find that fascinating. You're planning a tour there fairly soon after your release date here, but you've already been there before. How did that all come about in Scandinavia?
I've always been pretty interested in Scandinavian folk music, and then, well, not always, I guess in the last few years, and then, thanks, sorry, I'm getting derailed. Okay, let me start that again. I have been interested in Scandinavian music for the last couple of years, and, I don't know what it is about the folk music there, but it really speaks to me, and I met a Swedish folk musician in Vancouver who was living there for a few months, and he taught me a bunch of stuff and also ended up playing on my own music and sort of adding his own musical flavors to it. And so I had to go to Europe last year for a wedding, and I decided to just take a detour and go to Sweden and Denmark, and I played a couple gigs there, and they were received just so, so well. Like, I could see it on people's faces that they were just, even young people, they're like listening to my folk music that I write, and they get it, and they are quietly listening, and they're engaged in a way that, I mean, I love my country and everything, but in a way that I feel like people here don't generally beautiful music here. And I really appreciated it, and I was really excited by that. There's a lot of folk tradition there that's taught to the general public and always has been. Like, everybody knows how to folk dance there, and they know the basic songs and basic tunes, and I think that that's probably part of it. But basically, I want to go and take my music there for a little while and see if it's received as well as I think it's going to be. And I also feel like Canada is just a little too big. And I toured around this country for a long time, and I don't really want to do it anymore. All the cities are too far apart, and, you know, I don't mind doing little here and there, but in general, I'm sort of exploring my other options, and that's part of the reason that I'm going there.
Absolutely, yeah. I do hear this a lot when I interview artists who've toured Europe, and just because it's that long-standing minstrel tradition they have there too, that's just based on just so much more history than what we have here. It's still a baby country, like Australia, like the two countries from this show. They're still countries growing up in a way.
Exactly,
yeah.
1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Let me know where he's from.
From parts unknown.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday
from 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers.
And we're back on CITR. This is Stranded, and you just heard there a track from a debut album from Jenny Ritter. She's a local folk artist. The album's called Bright Mainland, you heard a track there called They Can't Tell. Let's get into part two, where we're still talking about the folk music tradition. You really hit on a really significant point there about the teaching to the general public of folk music, and that's, of course, how it's done. It's passed on orally.
Technically, there is not really any such thing as Canadian folk music. I mean, we have Canadian folk musicians like Dan Rogers, Gordon Lightfoot, James Keelahan. These guys are folk musicians, but the music is not based on folk traditions.
Mm.
You know, it's quite new. I don't know. I feel like maybe we're in a really exciting time in Canada, and probably Australia too, because we're kind of at this point where we're getting to invent our own folk music, you know, our own cultural music. But we don't have the foundation that those guys are working with.
That's right, and it seems like I'm just reading a biography on Bob Dylan now, and of course he was such an individualist, and he just researched intensively. You know, that's why he became what he was so young, that he sorted all out himself. Nobody, there weren't parents around or grandparents, you know, sitting on the porch with him. So it seems like individuals have to really seek it. So it'd be interesting to see if one day a real folk tradition occurs, where families are playing, you know,
yeah,
you never
for
know.
Sure.
50 years
And
time.
There are parts of Canada that is happening in. I mean, Cape Breton is a really good example of that, right? Like, they have been kind of dealing with this, Cape Breton folk music for many, many years. And they're really true to it. And it's a family tradition. Everybody shares there. And even my time in Nova Scotia on the East Coast was definitely flavored by that, by families. Kind of every single person in the family played an instrument fairly well, from like grandma and grandpa to the littlest kids. And so when you go to a party there, everybody just assumes that there's going to be music, and they participate, the whole family. And people party together there too in a really cool, like, intergenerational way. These are things I'm kind of looking for and realizing that maybe we need to work on building a little bit more in Vancouver.
Yeah. I know you're a fan of, I've seen here on your website, Old Man Leduc, is that how you spell his name?
Ludica.
Thought I'd play a bit of his music as well today too, because he's part of that kind of world, you'd say, that's a little bit more in touch with folk tradition from
from that part, and like even older, like, American folk tradition too, for sure. Because obviously, like, he plays banjo he plays clawhammer banjo, which is an old time style of banjo playing, which was developed in like the Appalachian mountains many, many years ago. And I mean,
wow.
Yeah, so that's definitely, I mean, I'd say it stems more from American. He definitely has an influence from like Woody Guthrie and those kind of really old timey songwriters. And I sincerely believe he's one of the best songwriters that we've seen in many, many years. He's incredible. And he's not an old man at all. He's like 35 or something.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, that's great. We'll definitely feature him. I love getting these different angles on music whenever I speak to interesting people like you for this show. No genre goes untouched as far as I'm concerned. And
sounding across the magic of the open water, like the moon's. darts. I am fine. Triumph of tequila, sunsets golden, way that eyes and firelight play. And I know that no exuberance ever goes a day unpunished. I'll trade tomorrow for today. But I took a break to take a break on a thousand running waves and ponder on a dress in its perfect disarray. My sandy hair and back, there's been a remarkable night. Sandy heart, breathing in the night, swirling light, shooting star darts. Perfect moment passed. At the party they are filling up the old shot glasses. I'm remembering all my foolish longing passes. So I'll stay right here and dream away.
LiveBand.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. LiveBand.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
And we're here on Stranded, and you just heard the second part there of my interview with Vancouver folk musician Jenny Ritter, where she continued to talk about the folk music tradition and referenced the East Coast, the Maritimes. And we just played for you there a great folk artist from the Maritimes called Old Man Leduque, which Jenny Ritter is a big fan of. The Old Man Leduque featuring his finger-picking style there on banjo, really interesting, as Jenny was saying, an Appalachian style. The song was called I'm Fine, I Am, I Am. Now let's get back in my third and final part of my interview with Jenny and another track from her debut album. Don't forget, Jenny is playing, she has a release of her debut album. She just played in Victoria, and next Saturday she will be playing here in Vancouver for the official release of the album Bright Mainland. It'll be at the St. James Hall in Vancouver. Well, I mean, you've already done so much because of your connection with, of course, the Kingsway Choir, Kingsgate Choir as well.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that?
That was like just a special piece of magic. My band had broken up and I kind of didn't want to try to pursue music as a profession. I didn't want to make money at it because I was feeling like trying to make money playing music was taking all of the joy out of it.
Mm.
And so I kind of gave up on it. I was like, forget it. I don't want to do it anymore. And then I realized that the thing I missed the most about being in a band was like singing with other people. And so I had a small group of really good friends who encouraged me to arrange some music for all of us to sing together.
Hmm.
And I started doing that, and the first week there were 4 people, and the next week there were 8 people, and the next week there were 20. And it just like it grew, and it with very little effort for me. All I had to do was arrange the music, which is fun for me, and then provide a venue, and people came, and I had like 30 people in it, and I started a waiting list, and now I've started a second choir with the waiting list from the first choir, and now there's a waiting list for the second choir.
Wow.
So I'm not going to start a third choir. That's just way too much for me. But it's really gratifying to me to see how much people want to participate in their community, and how much they want and need to sing and like express themselves. It's really cool.
Absolutely.
And we're just doing rock and roll music. It's not even, you know, it's not even choral music, and there's nothing spiritual about it, but it's yeah, it's really fun.
Wow, it's amazing. And I mean, you're definitely you're onto something. You know, the connecting with the folk tradition and connecting with people's hearts here in the city. I think you've already sparked something that's quite special. And it'd be really, I'm certainly going to keep in touch and be attentive to news you send from back in Scandinavia and see what you bring back. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to be playing tracks from your brand new album, which is it was released on October 4th, which was what, yesterday?
Yesterday. Well, I played last night and I'm playing tonight in Victoria.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. And the release, the official release show in Vancouver will be next weekend.
Yeah, next Saturday the 13th. St. James Hall, produced by the Rogue Folk Club.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Jenny.
Tough season, as Callum mentioned there, and pretty much it's going to be nothing to lose. They just got to take it game by game, and they basically, there's nothing to lose, so it's going to be a good matchup here tonight.
Off the draw, the Thunderbirds tying it up at their own blue line, and we are just underway here on the UBC Thunderbirds women's hockey season. Regina Cougars in town tonight, and it's going to be a good evening of hockey. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we've got play underway here, Dougie. With a shot in on goal, and that'll be turned aside by Danielle Dubé in her first CIS start this season. Turning the puck, and the puck will go back up out to center, and Regina will control it there, working it across. Both teams getting a change here. Working it deep into the Thunderbird zone, Dubé controlling it, and she'll settle it down and turn it up ice. Thunderbirds moving it out to center. Getting it across now, and they'll try to control it, but Regina will control it and move it back up to center. Now 3-on-2 into the Thunderbird zone, making a move around and getting deep into the zone.
Great play by Kaylee Hay there on the point. Stepping up, forcing the play to the outside.
After it for the Thunderbird, that's Nicole Saksvik on left wing. She'll try to make a play there. Can't. and Regina will retain control. Sakcevic stealing it, though, and she'll move up the blue across the blue line for the Thunderbirds. Moving into the zone, she'll work it around the D and get it deep. Thunderbirds will go in a partial change. Regina having the same players on the ice, and they'll work it up on left wing. That's White playing it across. White, one of the scorers that the Thunderbirds will have to look forward, or sorry, not look forward to necessarily, but try to put away here as they'll try to get a little bit of defensive play to set up this game.
Good.
Thunderbirds in on right wing. There's a shot on goal. That's Christy Capozzi, one of the assistant captains for the Thunderbirds this year. She'll try to make a play at the blue line, but it'll turn over across center ice, and Regina will get away. On left wing for Regina, that's Kylie Gavlin. She'll try to make a play. It'll get forced back out to the line, and Regina will hold it in, though. Thunderbirds scrambling in their own zone, trying to get it out, and they will move it across center ice. It's carried there by Rhianne White, trying to get it in on goal. She will. She'll dump it in and get off for a change. Regina carrying it in their own zone. Far side board, trying to force it out. Right at the blue line, it'll be flipped up over, and it'll be right back into Thunderbird's possession as they'll move it up ice now.
It's a huge ice surface here at UBC, so there's a lot of room to play, and they got to make those shifts short here.
Thunderbird's battling on the near side boards, trying to get something to the net. 17:26 to go, first period.
This is not the first time these teams have seen each other this year. Just last week or a week and a half ago, they were in a tournament in the second annual Mandy Schwartz Challenge in Regina, and the T-Birds actually were up 2-0 going into the third period, ended up pushing it to overtime, and they lost to the Regina Cougars. So they're going to look for a little redemption here tonight.
Top scorer for UBC in to take the draw, that's Tatiana Rafter, number 13. She'll try to play a deep, battling down there, Stephanie Schottmeyer. But Regina will again regain control after a Thunderbirds draw win, and they'll work it back out, but it'll be forced back in by the T-Birds in the near side boards. Now behind the Regina net. Trying to get up there, stopping up is Caitlin Kennedy for Regina. Thunderbirds will grab the puck, but it'll be moved forward now by Kennedy as she'll chase the puck out to center, and the Thunderbirds will take control. Both teams struggling a little bit to get control of the puck in the offensive zone.
Always little nerves here in the first game of the season. Every game is important throughout the year, and they're both going to try and have something to prove here tonight.
Sakcevic carrying the puck now in behind. She's going to work it out to the point. Back down low for Sakcevic. She can't control it. Hanit Parhar down low. Thunderbirds trying to work the cycle they can. They've got Regina pinned up a little bit, and Parhar pursues the D there. That was Krista Metz. She was hassling there in the corner, and now they're on the far side boards looking to get it free. Now carried in front now for the Thunderbirds. Parhar trying to control and they can. It gets stolen by a Cougars player that'll work out to center. That's Paige Wheeler, assistant captain. She'll dump it deep and go after it. Just over 4 minutes played here in the first period. No score. First game of the season for both these teams. CIS hockey getting started this week and this weekend with Canada West, and the OUA is getting underway.
Yeah, 19 games this weekend, so a lot of hockey, and it'll be nice to see where the standings lie at the end of the weekend.
Point shot from Regina. That one won't get through. Thunderbirds will block that one up, and it'll be up and off the glass and out to center.
Nice block there by number 16, Nicola Brown-John.
Chasing it down is Emily O'Neill, but it'll be turned back, icing Thunderbirds.
Yeah, these teams are going to have to calm down a little bit and play smart again. Like I said, they've been practicing, they've been training all summer, so investing a lot of time to be ready for these games, but it's always a little nerve-wracking, holding the sticks a little bit too tight, but I'm sure as the game goes on, that's going to calm down.
Stephanie Sawchuk in to take the draw for the Cougars. They will lose the draw, and Thunderbirds will take the puck, but it's dumped right out in front. Dubé with a save on a dump-in shot by a Cougars player on the near side board in the Thunderbird zone. Carried by the Cougars, working it to the point. Shot doesn't get through. It's carried in behind the net by Rhianne White now. Comes in front of the Thunderbirds' net, and it's corralled away there by Emily O'Neill, and will move back out to center. UBC trying to control the puck in their own zone. They're doing good. D-to-D pass. That one will be flipped out to center, gloved down by a Cougars player.
Smart play by the D there. Allow their team to come back, and V can now make the change for the Thunderbirds there.
Into the zone. That's number 13, Tatiana Rafter, trying to bust to the net. She can't. Parhar will control it, get it low. Nice cycle moving across. That one goes right through the crease. Rafter at the side of the goal. Can't stuff it in there. As she tried to get in front, Rafter still battling away at it, and the Thunderbirds will control behind the Cougars' net. Regina controlling the puck near side boards. trying to get it up the half while Thunderbird's taking over now. It's Rafter there, having a great shift for the Thunderbird. She works around 1D, feeds it in front, and that pass was intended for Emily Granger, but she couldn't get a stick on it. Now it's back for Granger. She'll miss the pass at the right wing wall, and the Cougars will work it deep into the Thunderbird zone. Icing called off.
Almost a center ice collision there between UBC number 12, Hanit Parhar. Almost took out Regina player there.
And Parhar will get it deep as she carries it up ice, and it's behind the net again. Carrying it behind, feeding it in front, and there's a play right in front of the goal, and Thunderbird's having a chance there to put one home. They can't.
They're going to have to get more shots on net. There's only two apiece here, and we're already 7 minutes into the first period, so they got to get testing these goalies. They're both strong goalies here tonight, especially a well-known UBC goalie here first year, but she's Danielle Dubé, former Team Canada goalie, so it's going to be a tough one for Regina.
UBC making some great acquisitions over the summer, and, of course, throughout the prior year, getting some new blood into the lineup. Of course, having not the best season last year, they definitely looked to make some additions this year, and they did, especially with Danielle Dubé in the nets there. Thunderbird out across the Regina line. A little bit of space there as the pass goes across to Chinakis. She can make the play, and she'll feed it to the far side. Diving play there across by the D and going hard into the boards with a Cougars player. She looks to be okay. That's number 21, Paige Wheeler. She's getting up. Okay, makes the change, and it's back into the Thunderbird zone.
The confident play by number 7, UBC, Kelsey Haverson there, both in the offensive zone, holding the line, as well as stepping up on the play early in our zone, UBC zone.
Thunderbird. Near side boards in their own zone. Tying it up, back behind the net to get it is Nicola Brown-John. Brown-John skates out of her own zone across the circle. She's got nobody to pass it to, so she'll flip it to center. Chinakis tried to receive the pass there and couldn't. Chinakis goes off for a change. Thunderbird's trying to get fresh legs on the ice, and they will. There's a lead pass. That one's going to go all the way past the stick of Tatiana Rafter. She's going to be down ice and miss it. Icing coming back into the Thunderbird zone.
Yeah, touching on Danielle Dubé, as we mentioned, she's in the net for the Thunderbirds tonight. She actually approached Graham, the new UBC coach, early on in the year. She was planning to come back and maybe help out as a coach, and turned out after the end of the conversation, she's enrolled and holding in the net there for the Thunderbirds. So
made the pitch as a coach and then ended up in between the pipes.
Not a bad gig.
No, it doesn't happen too often. That one's going to go down the ice as we approach the 8-minute mark of the first period. Two shots apiece for either side. You can definitely see there's a little bit of tentative play from either team as they try to just relax and get into this game. Of course, first game is always a tough one. Inda takes the draw for Regina. Caitlin Kennedy. She'll line up against Rafter. Kennedy will win it, but the Thunderbirds will get the puck up and out to center, and off underway is Stephanie Schottmeyer. She's going to try to play the puck deep and can't. Regina will control it.